listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today, Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie. Welcome to you both.
Hello. Thank you.
This week, the mayor of Fall River, Massachusetts, Jaisal Correa, was indicted on federal charges that he defrauded investors and lied to tax authorities. Prosecutors say Correa collected more than $360,000 from investors to develop an app. They say he then spent much of that to pay for a lavish lifestyle and political campaigns. Andrew Lelling is the U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts.
If you are an elected official and you commit some kind of fraud, we will go after you even though the dollars involved might be a little less than what we would do in the usual fraud case.
Correa is certainly not the first New England politician to be indicted while in office in recent memory. Lelling had some tough talk for those in office. And Susan, should they be worried?
Of course. If there's a chance that anybody's engaged in corrupt behavior, and that's not, again, like you said, boy, that's not new. That happens all the time. I hope that they would be worried. I certainly do hope so. There's been a lot of high-profile cases lately of public figures going down for corruption. Certainly John Rowland in Connecticut, Joe Ganim, the mayor of Bridgeport, and many, many others. So yeah, they should be worried. Hopefully they actually are worried.
Matt, is this a wake-up call for some, do you think?
It's hard to say. In Massachusetts, we have one U.S. attorney district that covers the whole state, and there is an office in Western Mass, and there is an FBI office in Western Mass, and I just don't know how much emphasis they're necessarily putting on the, you know, corruption that is out here. That's not to say that they're not doing anything. I wouldn't accuse them of that, but let's be honest here. The headlines are going to be going after people that are in the larger media districts, and this attracted a lot of Boston media. I don't know that Boston media wouldn't come out here for something, but I'm not sure that if you're looking for the attention so you get those resources, you're necessarily going to look for corruption around here.
Matt Correa, Democrat, had endorsed Republican Governor Charlie Baker and donated money to his campaign and that of Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito. Baker's campaign website removed any trace of the endorsement and announced the money would be instead donated to a charity. Is this a political headache for Baker?
To the extent that he's had political headaches in this campaign specifically, I think so. I think you saw that in the decision, which did not appear to be immediate after the arrest to donate the money to a good cause. That being said, you know, Baker has been more than willing to roll around with people that are not necessarily the most upstanding. Some of them have been appointed to his administration, including, it's worth noting, the former mayor of Springfield, who nearly brought it to its fiscal knees.
That mayor is Springfield.
Michael Albano.
Thank you very much. Susan, what do you think about that?
I actually think it's not that much of a headache for him. It's certainly, they're not even in the same party. It's just an endorsement. It's not like they were, you know, it's not like he was in his administration. It's not like they were really politically tight. I don't think it's going to be that much of a headache. Certainly the right move was taking down the endorsement and donating the money to somewhere else. I think that's going to be the end of it.
And speaking of Baker, he faced off in his first debate with Democratic rival Jay Gonzalez this week ahead of November's election. Baker has a hefty lead in the polls and touted his record, while Gonzalez said what Baker has been doing hasn't been enough.
I am not trying to become governor to manage the status quo. The status quo is not working for working families across the state.
And here's what Baker said to that.
If I was a status quo governor, there'd still be thousands of homeless families living in hotels and motels in Massachusetts. There aren't. If I was a status quo governor, we wouldn't have a huge offshore wind and hydro program going on to replace a third of our fossil fuels with clean, renewable energy.
Matt, is this approach by Gonzalez an effective one against the popular incumbent?
I think in theory, yes. The problem is that, you know, it's not enough to just say what Gonzalez is saying. I mean, to each of those things that Baker replied with, there are fewer people in hotels, partly because, if you believe what progressives are saying, they're just housing less people. You know, they're not necessarily, they're not in hotels, but they're not necessarily anywhere else either. So they're kind of, you know, changing eligibility. Or in the case of like hydro, well, the state of New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken, you know, bigfooted some of the attempts to improve that, despite the fact they have a Republican governor up there. So, I mean, you know, it's not that the strategy doesn't work. It's just that, is it, you know, can you really complete the sentence enough for voters to understand it?
Gonzalez also attacked Baker on supporting the Massachusetts Republican ticket, including Trump supporter Jeff Deal, who's running for the U.S. Senate. Baker has made it clear he's no supporter of the president. But Susan, what about Gonzalez trying to link Baker to the White House this way?
That's a Hail Mary. He would love it if voters connected Charlie Baker and Donald Trump in their minds, because Donald Trump is not popular. I don't think it's going to work, because Baker has been really clear about how different he is from Trump. He's a different kind of Republican, a sort of old school Republican, the sort of socially progressive kind of but fiscally conservative Republican that used to exist back 20, 30 years ago. And there's still a fairly fond memory of that in New England voters' minds. I think that voters can distinguish, and I don't think it's going to work, but it's a real long shot, and I don't blame Gonzalez for trying.
Meanwhile, let's take a look at what's been going on in Connecticut. A recent poll by Quinnipiac University has Democrat Ned Lamont leading Republican Bob Stefanowski by 8 points in the race for governor. Among women, Lamont leads Stefanowski by more than 20 points. Susan, what do you make of these numbers?
This is not a good poll for Bob Stefanowski. Not at all. This race is fairly stable. This is the first likely voters poll that we've seen. All the other ones have been registered voters. So we really can't compare a lot with what's gone on in the past, but we have not really seen any polls where Stefanowski's had a lead or really been within the margin of error. Maybe one or two polls had him within the margin of error, but he's not making any progress. He's kind of stalled out. His support is not going anywhere. He has huge problems, and this is his big problem, with independents. Independent voters, largest voting bloc in Connecticut. Republicans, there just aren't that many of them. He can have 80% of Republicans, which he does. So he has like 85, 90%. But you need a big, big total of independents to vote for you if you want to get anywhere as a Republican. And he doesn't. He's losing independents to Lamont. He's also losing women, like you said. And that is a huge problem for him, because women are very, 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 very interested in voting this election. And if you are losing among women, you're in trouble.
Matt, the poll also found outgoing Democratic Governor Daniel Malloy is actually less popular than President Trump right now. How about that?
Well, you know, I think that's not surprising. And I think that part of the explanation for why that's not entirely hurting Ned Lamont is that a lot of people dislike Dan Malloy from the left. And they're not necessarily—I mean, there's plenty of people that just dislike Dan Malloy generally, but there are people that don't think that Dan Malloy governed as liberally as they had hoped, and they're still going to embrace a Democratic candidate, and barring somebody, you know, actually saying, I'm going to do exactly what Dan Malloy said, which I doubt Ned Lamont, who ran against Malloy in the past, would do that.
All right, Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Susan Bigelow of CT News Junkie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.